It's Tuesday, October 5th, 2010. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a librarian at the Parchment Community Library, and today I'm taking the oral history of Richard Crone, K-R-O-H-N. Richard, what is your full name?
My name is Richard Lawrence Crone.
And when and where were you born?
I was born on Washburn Avenue on the east side up here.
Yeah.
In 1936.
And where do you live today?
I live in Portage.
Oh, you've lived there a long time?
47 years. Same
okay.
house.
Yeah. Same house.
Yeah.
And what is your personal connection to the Parchment area?
I worked there for 12 years. I had three brothers besides me that worked there.
What were their names?
There was Don, Ken, Jerry, and that was, and then me.
And you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what years did you work there?
I worked there from 1954 till 1966.
Twelve years.
12 years.
And how did you get that job?
My brother worked in the office with Al Hamilton, who was the superintendent of Mill One.
Right.
And he knew Joe Pavanka, who was personnel manager. And I'd looked for jobs, and I couldn't find any. Mm-hmm. Jobs were hard in 1954 when I got out of high school. Mm-hmm. So I worked on a farm for a while, and then I wanted to get a job in town, and he got me an interview with Pravanka,
and
he hired me.
Yeah. And what did you first start? What was your first job there?
I was a rewinder helper in Mill One.
I
wrapped all the meat paper rolls, gum guyac, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then I ended up running a rewinder till I quit in 1966.
So that's primarily what you did there, was
converting
the rewinder.
Yep.
Okay.
Run butter wrappers, oleo margarine wrappers, and that stuff.
Yeah.
Know.
Did you work? I've heard from other people I've interviewed, there was a lot of overtime to be had.
Well, it,
was
we
that
worked
true
approximately
this period?
six, let's see. No, 5.5 days a week is what we worked.
I see.
It was kind of like a regular thing. You know.
You weren't on a swing shift.
Yeah.
You were on a swing.
Yeah. I sure was.
I heard that was kind of rough.
Well, we did it. They were pretty easy about that. So we would trade shifts. You know, like you like third or you like second. And we would trade and they'd okay it. You
know, really? As long as
somebody
the work
was there.
Got done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We traded off a lot.
Did you like your job there?
Oh,
what was it like?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I was 130 pounds at that time, and I was wrapping rolls that were 130 pounds.
Oh!
A gum guyac. This is a kind of an oil paper that they used for wrapping meat.
Yeah.
In meat stores. So, you know, it was a good job. We worked steady, you know, and there was it was like a big family. You know, we had a group of guys. Most of them were Second World War vets who
they
are passed.
Were.
You know, they passed now.
Sure. Sure.
There was a few of us that are still here, but not very many from the whole group.
Yeah. Did you play in any of the sports teams?
I didn't. That's what Kindleberger was. If you played baseball, you got hired. Because Kindleberger, that's what he was. He was a baseball man.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So guys would come in and would say they played on a softball team or something somewhere?
And they'd get a job.
And they'd get a job.
Yeah. Old Kindleberger loved baseball. He was really,
wow.
He sponsored all them teams, you know, and all that stuff.
Right, right.
But I never did play. I played in high school, but I just never followed through with it.
Okay, so no sports. Did you ever hang out in Parchment much? No, you didn't live here.
Well, I tell you what they did. The plant kept up I did a lot of hunting and fishing. And they had a low, what they call a low house and a high house for shooting trap. It was right behind the plant by the river. The mill kept it up. They maintained it.
They did?
Yeah.
A couple of the other guys I've interviewed,
is
taking their
right?
oral history, were talking about that.
Well, I'll be done.
Yeah,
I remember that. It was an old, that trap was probably built in the 30s. Probably.
Really?
And they kept it up. Yeah, they did a good job.
Is it gone now?
I don't know. When I left there, I don't think I come back over twice, maybe. Mm-hmm. In the years, you know, after mm-hmm. I left. But I was working 7 days a week at GM, too. I did that for 27 years.
Did you go to GM after KVP?
Yeah.
You did. And you worked there for 27 years.
27 years.
Where? Which GM plant?
Kalamazoo plant. Stamping plant.
Okay. Did you retire from there?
Yes.
When did you retire?
1993.
Okay.
I went out at 56. I went out early.
So, okay.
So, yeah. But the only reason, well, they shut the plant down.
Sure.
Yeah, I had apprentices that, for all them years, I've trained apprentices, and a lot of them had good jobs, and then they got into the apprenticeship,
mm-hmm.
and then they were going to shut the plant down.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought to myself, well, the house is paid for, the kids are gone. I thought, well, these kids are going to need a job. If I leave, maybe, you know, one of them will be able to hang on for a couple of years, which they never shut it down until, see, they told us 95, but they never shut it down until 98. They had a lawsuit on that, too.
They did, eh? When did you actually leave there? 1966.
I think it was October.
Well, wait. You left KVP in 66, but the GM plant, what year did you leave?
93. And March 1st of 93.
93.
Yeah.
But they told you it was closing in 95, but it hung on till 98?
98.
It did.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were, well, they had an age discrimination suit against them because
they
wanted to get rid of us old guys. You know, basically. Uh-huh. I don't think that's really true, but that's what they said. You know?
Do you know whatever came of that lawsuit? Did they
You know, they had a local lawyer that was in on it. They wanted me to get in on it. You had to put in like $200, you know.
Class action,
well, I knew this.
Maybe, or something? A class action lawsuit?
Yeah, class action.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so I looked it over and I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, it just faded away.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it did go to court, but they just wouldn't acknowledge it. You know, they just threw it out, basically.
Sure.
But we had, unlike myself, I mean, to give you a good example, you would put your papers in for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
It might take a week to get them back. Mine come back in 3 days. And they wanted to get rid of me.
I see.
But I was one of the highest paid, you know.
Did you feel about that? Were you ready to go, or were you...
Well, yeah, I'd already... I tell you what I did. When they told me this was coming about, I went home with my wife, and I got a big piece of paper.
Yep.
I put down everything, all my cost, the money I had.
Sure.
And the whole works, and I told her, I said, I'm not staying. I would have been working for like $5 an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
sure.
I'm, you know, over and above what they would have, you know, what I would have got from them.
Sure.
So they give us a deal, and I went out, and I don't regret it. I mean, I could have made a lot more money, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, per month, you know.
Sure.
But that money didn't really, well, the kids are gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ma and I don't live high.
Sure.
But we lived just like I did when I was working. You know, if
sure.
I want to take a trip or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I got three kids in Texas. And, out of the four, and we go down there, you know, quite often and stuff like that. So, you know, it really wasn't anything, it's a big decision. It really is.
Sure.
Mostly at that age, 56.
Sure.
You know, but they gave me a bridge payment from 56 to 62.
Oh.
And then Social Security kicked in.
I see.
So, we did good and we enjoyed ourselves. I traveled all over the world with a motorhome for about the first year.
Did you?
Put 70,000 miles on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
But, you know, I always wanted to do that.
I
love to
couldn't.
Travel.
Yeah.
But, you know, we kind of quit that, but we still go on trips once in a while and stuff.
Tell
like
me
that.
What's your wife's name?
Barbara.
And what was her maiden name?
Turpinning.
Okay.
She was born and raised on Mount
Olivet?
Mm-hmm.
Mount Olivet.
Up there on top of the hill where the towers were.
Yeah.
That's where she was born and raised.
And you have children.
Yeah, I have four.
And what are your kids' names?
Here we go. Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry. April.
Mm-hmm.
And Jill.
And are you a grandfather?
I am.
Times
I got
over?
Two great-grandsons. Just
two
born in the last year.
Great-grandsons?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I have eight. I got 10 all together now. I got two great-grandsons, and then I got eight. But they're all girls except one, and that's a boy. So I've got three boys now, grandkids. Yeah.
Now, did your dad work at the mill?
No, my dad worked for Consumers, a light plant that they tore down.
Okay.
He turned the city lights on for years.
He did?
Yeah.
What were your parents' names?
Merrill and Iva Crone.
And Iva Crone, yeah. Okay. Were they born here?
I think Missouri.
Okay.
Mom.
All right.
Dad was German.
Uh-huh.
So, geez, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Sure.
But.
Sure.
He died when I was 6 years old.
He left early.
Yeah. He had cancer. You know,
oh,
the first
yeah.
people in this area. Well, he was in Borges for a while. Then, them days, they just give him chemical to keep him.
Right.
You know, and then he passed.
Do you remember him? Do you have
Very
some?
Little.
Yeah.
I remember a few things about him. He was a tall man. He was probably 6'1", 6'2".
Uh-huh.
But that, we only have one brother now that was... Well, two. No, Ken was 6'4", and Don was 6'1".
Okay.
And two other ones were only 5'7".
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's funny how that happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Took
right.
after my mom, I think.
Okay.
Two of us did, and two after yeah. my dad. Yeah.
Yeah. You lived in Portage.
Mm-hmm.
When you got your job at KVP? Is that true? Or where were you living when you got your job at
I
KVP?
Was living in Portage. Let's see. I had a house right across from the airport on Bird Drive, and I lived there
mm-hmm.
about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to where I'm at now in 1963.
Okay.
The day Kennedy got shot is the day I moved in, November 22nd.
Really?
Yeah. And we've been there. Well, I raised family there.
Yeah.
You know, they went to boys' schools and what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they was, Well, when I moved out there,
mm-hmm.
well, you know what, this is funny. People would not come out there because it was country.
Yup.
You know, I only had
I
so many houses on the street. It's all filled up now.
Sure.
But, and I took a lot of risk. You know, I can't remember what I was making at KVP at the time. I know when I started, I was making $1.55 an hour.
You were.
And then them guys told me, I said, well, you're crazy, you know, buying a new house, all that business. But I paid for that and another one, too. So.
You did, yeah.
But it just, you know, in them days, we were brought up, well, you know that. You're 62. We were
yeah.
brought up to watch our money, you know, more
sure.
or less.
And, sure.
And that's what I did. I after yeah. the kids left, you know, the kids cost. You know, you don't
well, yeah.
you don't save much money when the kids are home.
Right.
Because every time you got a little money aside, it was you need a new pair of shoes or
that's
something.
Right.
You know.
That's right.
But I had a good wife too. She
mm-hmm.
raised the kids. I did. Because
mm-hmm.
I worked 7 days
you
a week.
Worked.
So.
Were you in the union at KVP?
Yeah.
You have to join the union, right?
Yep. I was in the union in both UAW, and I was at the AFL-CIO here.
Is that okay? This is 323. And then across the river was local 323. And wasn't across the river 1010 or Pitcher Street local 1010?
Yeah, that was something else.
That was something else.
Sutherland, because when they combined,
yeah.
you had two different unions.
That's right.
Union locals, I should say.
That's right.
Yeah, I went through when was that? 55, when we had that big strike. Was it 56?
Seven.
Am I 57, maybe?
I think maybe around
it's right
57,
back in there.
I think. Guys,
yeah.
yeah, guys talked about that. So you went through that strike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was quite a deal.
They weren't out for very long, though. Were they?
105 days.
105 days?
Maybe that
Under
was late.
Months.
Oh, wait a minute. Am I confusing GM with that? No.
No,
no
I think
not.
That was about a 3-4 month strike.
Because we only, I know
50s.
We got 11 cents an hour. That's. Oh, we got out of that 105
it
days.
It
was Yeah, it wasn't
was.
Worth it.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, there was, it was good. I was a union man all my life. I mean, you know, well, except the
sure.
jobs I had, you know, working on a farm, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was a union man all my life, and, I think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't think it's good, but
yeah.
I did because... You see, you know, you look back in history and how people were treated, you know.
That's right.
Back in the 30s and so on.
Exactly.
So when the unions
exactly.
come in. But they helped out. Well, GM, for instance, couldn't live without the union. They run the place.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They took care of the help. They, mm-hmm. they disciplined. They did the whole works. You
mm-hmm.
know? So you, the company didn't have to do that.
That's true.
You know? So
that's true.
But they, you know, it's been a good life, I think. You know, I've never had one. My brothers, except Don. Now Don went in business for himself, but he worked as traffic manager here at Mill One.
Okay.
With Al Hamilton's office down there. I seen Al. I was playing golf one day and I seen him. I hadn't seen him in, God, 30 years probably.
Really?
And I recognized him. I didn't know he was still alive back.
Yeah.
He was 80 some years old.
When was this?
Probably. Like, I think he's passed.
Okay.
But this has probably been about 8 years ago.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Al was staunch. When he walked down through there, boy, he
is that right?
Yeah, he was real, real staunch man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I worked for Lyle Perk.
Mm-hmm.
Whitey Vermeulen, he quit after a while and started.
Okay.
He was one of the first guys to ever put a boat on Lake Michigan for salmon fishing.
Oh, really?
And he quit here and bought four boats right over here, and then him and his wife moved up north in a little town up there. And,
yeah.
And he finished.
And ran a business, a fishing business, or
yeah.
Yeah.
He had cabins. He had four or five cabins, and
I see.
And a fishing business, you know,
sure.
on the lake. And that surprised me because I've been out there. I've been out there fishing.
Yeah.
After the fact, and Whitey, he's gone too. You know, all them guys are gone.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We had guys that were in the Bataan March, working over there.
I'll and, bet.
in fact, two of them that I knew real well, you know, that went through the war.
You were not in the service.
No, we had two brothers go in, and two of us didn't.
Sure, okay, because of your ages, the way that just
yeah,
sort of
yeah,
stacked
I
up
had
that
a lot
way.
To do with that.
Sure.
They had me downtown to send me for a checkup in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and Barb was pregnant.
Okay.
My first baby.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I wanted to go in. I can't remember. But anyway, they called me in and said, "We've got enough 18-year-olds." Said, "We don't need you." I was 20.
Really?
So they sent me home, and I never did go in.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Got any regrets about that?
I do, in a way.
No.
Now, I had a boy. He's lived all over the world.
Okay.
He's a boss for a repair station for UPS and Delta Airlines. And he lived everywhere. He lived in Guam.
Yeah.
He lived in Germany. He lived in Hawaii. You know, he's been all over. And I, you know, a lot of them guys that went to service got to see the country.
They really,
the world.
The world, they did.
I never did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I regret that part of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as that goes.
Excuse
me.
That
I'm
was
sorry.
Do you need some water?
No, I'm fine. I got a little bit of a cold, to be honest. I hope I don't give it to you.
No, no, I have a little bit of a cold. Don't even worry about that. It's kind
good.
Of that. It's kind of that time of year.
Yep.
Where did you go to school?
I spent through the 10th grade in the Kalamazoo school system.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Woodrow Wilson. I went to Roosevelt, which are both toward Kalamazoo Central.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved to Climax, Scott's, and I went to Climax Schools,
oh,
and then I finished
see.
There.
You finished there.
I graduated from Climax. Yeah.
What did you like about, do you like anything about school? Have favorite subjects, or not too
no,
much?
I really didn't like school, I'll
you
be
didn't.
Honest with you.
Yeah.
I never did really like it. What, I went to school, after school, after high school, I went to a lot of school. Of course, I went through training at, you know, at Fisher Body.
Yeah, yeah.
Apprenticeship.
Okay.
3.5 years. Karen. And then we had training because they high tech come in, see,
yeah.
in the '80s.
Right.
So we would go to schools. They would bring a motor home at a night shift.
Yeah.
Bring it in, we'd go to school right there at the motor home.
Really? And
for
take what?
Tooling.
Like tooling? Okay.
Yeah, tooling stuff because all that
yeah.
stuff was new, you know.
Yeah.
And then we took classes for metric, we took classes for computers.
Mm-hmm.
All that's because all of them was computerized. All
yeah.
milling machine. Then I taught guys how to run them machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after they trained us, then we'd spread it on to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a learning experience, but I was 30, see, when I started GM, or, yeah, GM.
Sure.
So I had to go back to school.
Sure.
So I would go to school 4 hours and work 8 hours. And I did that for 3.5 years.
You did?
But not, only three times a week, I'm sorry.
Oh, those are three 12-hour days, though.
And then
yeah.
GM was good at overtime, you know. We worked 10, 12 hours a lot of times, and certain times a year, you know.
Right.
But KBP was steady. I can remember them guys telling during the Depression they still worked 4 days a week over.
Yeah, some of the guys I've talked to have said that.
Is that right?
Jake Kindleberger made sure people kept working, whether they were sometimes off-site, working in the park, working...
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yes.
They had to keep the park up in the city. And
everybody knew that during the Depression, boy. Wow. You worked at KBP, that you had a job. He was going to probably keep you on and find something to do, you know, and people really appreciated that.
He was a heck of a man. He was a heck of a man. He died soon after. I don't remember when he died.
He died New Year's Day, 1947.
Oh, 47?
1947.
Wait a minute.
Is when Jake Kindleberger died.
He died before I started.
Yes, he did. He was not there.
I thought he was alive after.
No. Mm-mm.
Well, no. You just taught me something. Because I thought that all these years.
Did you? That he was still running the place when you started?
I would hear things.
Oh, yeah, the stories.
Like the baseball... You know, the baseball thing and I got that story I told you that if you was a baseball player, you worked for KBP.
Right.
Well, I'll be darned, 47.
Huh. But I've still, you know, heard guys that started afterwards and then have stories to tell because of the guys that worked there told them stories.
Yep. That's right. I must have caught it from them guys because... Most of them, they used to tell me stories about how good a man he was, you know, and how he kept his workers, you know, up and that stuff. He was quite a man. But he had a big hand in this city. I mean,
The city grew up around the mill.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he built those company houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that. I heard that before.
Company houses, and guys would move into those, and, you know, and he, and there are people coming down the river on boats from Kalamazoo to come to work because there was no serious road Kalamazoo and Parchment. And, you know, it's only about a little over a mile from here, and the mill's right across the street still, to downtown Kalamazoo. But there was no serious road, so people would rent space on wagons every day, horse-drawn wagons that were coming this way.
Wow.
In the dead of winter... Some people would be living in tents on the river.
Oh, jeez.
And you know, winters were harder.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah. They were harder then. So this town, he built this town.
I know they used to talk about the interurban, which was a...
Yes.
Where the track was is still out here. I used to hunt out there once. When I see them, it's kind of a hump.
Mm-hmm.
And that went to Grand Rapids, from what I understood.
Yes, I think that's right. Yeah.
And, you know, different things. Well, you talked to them. It was kind of interesting because a lot of them guys were so much older than I was. You know, I was 18 when I started.
Yeah.
And these guys were, you know, in their 30s and 40s. And then, of course, guys of the Second World War, you know, they were quite a bit older than I was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I had that one older brother. He was only, I think, Don was 8 or 9 years older than I am.
Okay.
But he passed in 1982, and after he left here, he started a car business. Had a car business in Kalamazoo.
In Kalamazoo, what was the name of it?
Crone's Car Sales on corner Rose and Kalamazoo Avenue.
Rose,
right there,
right almost downtown.
Yeah,
right a block off the main.
Used to be a gas station.
Yeah,
years ago. Yeah. And then there was a restaurant there. I can't even remember the name of it now. But anyway.
Well, yeah, it's changed, you know.
Sure it has.
The downtown has changed a little bit. There's still some big old buildings that have been there since ever, you know, that have been there since ever. Dick, did you What was your religion growing up? Did you attend
Methodist.
Church?
I went to Baptist Church on the east side. It was right by Woodrow Wilson School.
Okay.
The first church I ever went to. And then I became Methodist and the whole family, but I'm not really a churchgoer, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I never have stuck with it. I even played ball for the Latter-day Saints for a couple of years.
Did you?
Yeah. I was just moving around trying to, you know, figure out where I wanted to do and go. And
where you belonged.
Because my wife was Catholic and I was Methodist when we got married. Well, they wanted me to be a Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to turn me over, but that didn't work out either. So. Yeah.
Sure, sure. Do you have any memories of unique festivals or holidays, or didn't KVP throw like big Christmas parties?
Oh,
or?
Yeah, we got turkey.
You got a turkey?
Yeah, we got turkey a lot of years. I think it was $25 we got when I first started, something like that. Then they went to turkeys, and we got turkeys. And that was, you know, that was really something, because, well, when I started GM the first year, I had to go on food stamps. First time in my life I ever took anything, you know.
Really?
No unemployment, no, you know, none of that business. And I had to take food stamps. So that was, you know, it was quite a thing for me. I didn't
hard.
I wasn't used to that.
That's difficult.
Yeah, that's something else.
Right.
But KVP was going strong. Well, I had two brothers. Ken, he worked at Mill 2 shipping for 39 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry worked in an office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's still working for graphic packaging. He's 60.
He does.
7 or 60 now.
Yeah.
So there's two of us left out of four brothers.
Out of four. Where were you in the family?
I was third one down. I got a sister, 82. Then there was Don, then there was me, then Ken, and then Jerry.
I see.
So my sister's still alive. She's 82.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Marilyn.
What's her last name?
Reynolds.
Okay. Is her husband still alive?
No, he passed away about 7 or 8 years ago.
And
now.
Do they live in the area?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've all pretty much stuck to this area. My kids is the only ones that moved, you know, to town. But that was jobs.
Yeah.
Moved for jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we all lived right in here. Ken lived in Parchment on 20th Street, I believe.
20th down Street. Here. Okay.
You go down to the corner
right
where the car sales is and take a left.
Oh, yeah.
Go down, down in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Down in there. He lived there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, his wife still lives in the same house.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
So that's been, no, she's been here many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, if we can get a little philosophical here.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
What do you consider a successful life, and did KVP affect that?
I tell you, making a living, you've got four kids. You know, it's not, nowadays it's probably even worse than that because it's more expensive.
Yeah.
My goal was to raise them kids, give them a good education. I grew up real poor.
You did.
And after my dad died, my mom worked in a corner store up inside, $25 a week, and we got $18 a month for each kid, Social Security.
Okay.
Well, we lived on that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of tough. Well, my kids never seen that. And
right.
I think that's good. And KVP did that for me. I had a steady income.
Right.
And I could do pretty much what I wanted to, and the kids were taken care of well, and I appreciated that, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nowadays, it's, you know, you got a job one day, next day you haven't.
Yeah.
You know, it's that bad, I think, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing about KVP, it was steady, and I used to talk to the old guys, and they said during depression, same thing, you know.
Sure.
Because
sure.
A lot of them guys, the older guys, of course, they went in the war, you know, and they come back and they had a job, too. That was another thing.
That's right.
KVP made
they
sure
saved
when they come back, they
you,
had a job.
That's right. You couldn't necessarily have your old job back, but they would rehire you. after your stint in the service.
So, right? And a lot of guys, you know, a lot of them guys appreciated that. You know, they was, how many, I can remember some of them, and they're all gone now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them passed away, but.
Yeah.
It was good, and I always liked to, I always took a vacation for me.
Okay.
You know, I'd go out west hunting. I did that for 18 years.
Okay.
But I would take the family, too, a week.
Okay, sure.
And we would go down south or wherever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really traveled a lot with the kids. I did take some trips with them. But four kids, you know,
that's an ordeal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you got that right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've lived a good life, and you know, it's one of them things that, you know, people nowadays, I suppose, they have higher expectations than we had back then, you know.
Yeah.
We had one car in a family,
that's
now you
probably,
got five.
You're
you
right
know.
About that. That's,
you know,
yeah.
So it, you were satisfied, pretty
mm-hmm.
much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take much to satisfy, put it that way, as it does now.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
But, I've lived a good life. I've pretty much done what I wanted to do, and I've did a lot of things that I never thought I would do.
Okay.
You know.
And you're still enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I still enjoy life. You know,
yeah.
I still enjoy the kids, you know,
yeah,
the grandkids.
Sure.
Oh, God. I spend more time with the grandkids than I did my own kids. So,
yes.
Because I was working so
you
much.
You were working so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a good life.
Did we miss anything that you wanted to talk
about?
Well,
there's
here?
A couple. Well, let's see. You remember George Rosie, the name George Rosie? He just died here about
I have
three,
heard
four
that
years
name.
Ago. He was a boss in paper machines.
Okay.
Mill One.
Yeah.
Second World War, but. Was in a camp in Germany. He was. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He used to tell me them stories. I mean, them guys could tell stories. Just, oh God!
Really?
Yeah, they parachuted into that area.
I see. Yeah.
He told me that they heard voices and they went up there and they thought they were English, but they wasn't. It was German. So he got put in a concentration camp for like 11 months.
He did?
Yeah.
And
he lived here in Parchment for
related all those stories.
Yeah. All them guys had stories. I mean,
yeah.
You can't believe some of the stories them guys would tell you.
Yeah, I'll bet.
But
yeah.
They were all good guys. You know, you shook a guy's hand then, you know, that was a contract. You didn't have to have anything in paper and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We helped out each other, you know, we built houses and
did you?
You know, whatever, you know. We help each other out a lot. And that's one of the things that I missed going to GM was you didn't have that. You know, there's so many people.
So many.
And,
right.
You know, I had friends, don't get me wrong, I had friends in GM, but it wasn't like it was at KBP.
Mm-hmm.
KBP was a family. It wasn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was closer knit, I guess you could say.
Yes. Yeah. I have heard that from other.
Have you?
Guys talking about, they're...
Oh, good, good.
Their jobs at KVP and or living in town, that it was tight.
Yeah, Parchment was always... It just seemed like it was its own entity, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean,
It really was.
I mean, they had their own thing going.
You're
you know?
Exactly right.
Because
sure.
I've went to the park. They have these... musical.
Yeah, the Kindleberger Fest every year in the
I have a next door neighbor played up there.
Sure.
And
those Sunday night summer concerts too.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and you know, things like that, you know, you don't I guess Portage does have that too. The band shelter at times
when
we went
do.
To them.
They've got one.
But it was kind of neat. Well, I went because Joel Mathis was my neighbor and he had the band that played up here probably 3-4 weeks ago.
Okay.
But he's well known.
Okay.
He's made
it's a beautiful park.
It is.
Isn't
and
it?
And they kept it up so good, you know.
It's spectacular.
Yeah. Because, and that's what amazes me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays it's, Well, Portage is pretty good about that. I mean, they have the trails to keep up and all that stuff, which is really good. And I enjoy it. Right where I live, we have a lot of them. I can walk all the way to the lake, you know, and back. And when you got this, you know, it's different than having cement.
That's right.
Asphalt, you know. Yeah. Not a whole lot to see, but you go up in there, and I went to car shows up here, too.
Sure.
And
sure.
You know, it's kind of neat. I like that when they set something aside and don't, in nature, you know.
Exactly.
I like
and
that.
Save That's it good. For, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, Parchment has a good setup as far as I'm concerned.
They really have managed raise to
kids,
keep,
you know, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. It's, mm-hmm. it's good.
Yeah.
They've always been real good.
Yeah.
I still keep track of the people most of the people that I really knew well.
Yes.
That lived here in Parchment are gone.
Okay.
And, but I still have one old buddy, a hunting buddy of mine that lived up here.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives in Lawrence now. And we've been going around together for 40 years. But
you came to the reunion in July,
yeah.
didn't you?
Yeah, I did. That's
did you see guys? Did you see guys?
Yeah.
You hadn't seen?
I had one helper, and I can't tell you his name even. They come up to me and said, "Hi, Dick." And I looked at him and I thought,
yep.
You know, long ways ago. And then I remembered who he was.
Sure.
But he come in, you know, after I'd been there quite a few years.
Yeah.
Before I left, he come in. But he stayed. I think he retired from here, from KVP.
Okay.
But we had so many. Gosh, you know, when you got three brothers.
Right.
That work here too, you know.
Different
you got
to
admit
to people
that it's,
and yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, everybody had a good job. They had good income. My dad worked for Fuller's. My stepdad worked for Fuller's. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we used to drive from the farm here. I'd drive with him once in a while. He'd drop me off.
Right.
And, you know, it was, well, you know, when you're first married, you don't have nothing. You know, when you start, and I had a job, I think my wife, before I married her, she had to pay my taxes that first year because I didn't have the money. But, you know, different things, you know, like that. You remember them things, you know.
You bet.
You do.
Yeah. Well, Dick, this has been just great.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Everybody who gives their oral history
mm-hmm.
has a different story to tell.
Is that right?
Absolutely. That's every once in a while, someone will say, "I don't think I have anything to say," or "You've probably heard it all." No, we have not. So everybody has their own unique piece of history here.
Sure.
And I want to thank you so much
you bet.
For
You're
sharing
welcome.
That.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah.